Well, welcome back, everyone. We are here with our Bible study teacher, Beth Seifert, and we are opening up to the book of Romans. Beth, thank you so much for teaching us today. Let's begin.
Hey there, Amy. Well, this is one of my favorite passages in Romans, actually. I love how Paul lays out how the message is supposed to be sent out to the people. So if you have your Bibles, go ahead and open to Romans chapter 10. We're going to be in verses 14 through 21 today. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. But I ask, have they not heard? Indeed they have, for their voice has gone out to all the earth, and their words to the ends of the world. But I ask, did Israel not understand? First Moses says, I will make you jealous of those who are not a nation. With a foolish nation I will make you angry. Then Isaiah is so bold as to say, I have been found by those who did not seek me. I have shown myself to those who did not ask for me. But of Israel, he says, all day long I have held out my hands to a disobedient and contrary people. We have the how thens here, but we mustn't lose sight of the fact that all of these originate with God. He is the one who sends out the preachers to share the good news. In fact, all of the conditions here have been met by God, and yet the Jews refused to believe and be saved. Throughout this passage, Paul refers to all men in general, and then drives the point home that specific among all men are the Jews, who truly should know what their scripture teaches and should believe, but they refuse. These questions today, though, are actually, brace yourselves, mostly rhetorical. Paul asks them with the underlying idea that, just as we saw yesterday, they have no real I didn't know excuse. As Paul asks these questions, he is pointing to the people to the truth that he, and many others, have been sent to preach the good news, that the opportunities to hear the good news are all around, so their not knowing is not based on not having the chance to know, but based on their own refusal to listen. In order to call on him, they must believe in him. Remember, I know I keep saying this, but it's important. Even the demons know who Jesus is. This isn't a shallow belief, but a heart-filled trusting of your life into his hands kind of belief. That must come before anyone can call out to him to save them. I can say the words, recite all the prayers in the world, but if I don't actually believe in my heart, then I'm just saying words and using them as a magical incantation. And I can't manipulate God with the right words or with anything else. No, to call on him the way Paul is describing here means that you have at least some measure of confidence that he is able to do what you are calling on him for, namely to save you. To believe in him, they have to have heard of him. If I was raised in the woods away from all other people and my parents never told me about things like Santa and the Tooth Fairy, I would be totally lost if someone came into my woods talking about those things. This honestly reminds me of the Ethiopian who was traveling, and God sent Philip to that man to ask what he was reading. The man answered, and Philip asked if he understood what he was reading, and the Ethiopian said, "How can I unless someone explains it?" The message of Christ, his life, death, and resurrection must be shared, and it must be shared faithful to the scriptures. How can that message be shared if no one is sharing it? This goes right back to the reality that we are all called to share the gospel. All of us. Now, don't give me the excuse of, well, I don't have the gift of evangelism. That's for someone else. Because that's an excuse. We were all given the Great Commission. That wasn't just for evangelists. True, you may not be the right one to go to the corner and preach to the people, but that is not the only way that we share the gospel. We're supposed to share the gospel with all of those around us. If we don't, who will? You may be the only Christ follower some of your friends or coworkers know. If you don't tell them who he is, who will? Don't misunderstand. Your job is not to make or force anyone to believe. Your job is to deliver the message, and that's it. But if you aren't being faithful in delivering that message, how would anyone around you think they need to believe it? Interesting to note here that Scripture definitely supports the role of preaching explicitly here. We need the word to be preached, and God has sent preachers. And then those who are sharing the gospel are sent from God. And as I just mentioned, that's all of us. We are all called to share the gospel. Having been given the gift of salvation, we have all been sent to give an accounting for the hope we have. And to those who accept the message, what a beautiful message it is. The feet that carry that most welcome message are to be praised. This word for beautiful in the Greek can also be translated as timely. How timely, how just in time are the feet of the messenger who brings the good news of Christ. The gospel is not only a gracious offer, but also a command to believe and repent. Paul, after asking this series of questions, then points out that not all have obeyed the gospel. He references Isaiah again, pointing to the Old Testament so that the Jews will know that the fact that so many have not believed is actually not a surprise. Here Paul answers those questions. Have they not heard the message? Oh, yes. Yes, they have. Did they not understand it? Well, no, actually they did. All the way back in Deuteronomy 32:21 and Isaiah 65:1-2, which is what Paul is quoting here, we see that God has said that he will make them jealous with those who are no nation and will be found by those who did not ask for him or seek him. This is perfectly consistent with Scripture that the Gentiles, who were not a nation and not seeking God, would be drawn in by God. This was not at all out of character for God. And Israel knew this from their Scriptures, so their ignorance is not ignorance, but a refusal to believe. Paul doesn't call this the unbelief of Israel, but the disobedience of Israel. In chapter 1 of Romans, Paul talks about the obedience of faith, linking obedience and faith, so it is not a surprise that here he should link unbelief with disobedience. Israel is not outside of salvation because of a passive unbelief, but because of a refusal to respond to God's grace. Interesting to note, too, that Paul quotes from the law, as he quotes Deuteronomy, and the prophets, as he quotes Isaiah, again, driving the point home that the law and the prophets bear witness to the truth of the gospel. Israel, God has been holding out his hands to bless and heal them, and they want nothing to do with him. This shows the continued grace and mercy of God in offering this to them, in not wiping them off the face of the earth as they refuse to believe, as they remain stubbornly disobedient. And that's what is breaking Paul's heart here. Not everyone who hears the message will receive it. Many who have heard didn't believe. As I read this passage of Scripture today, I can see Paul showing the people how God has been faithful to his people. From the beginning, God's plan of redemption was in place. And from the beginning, God intended for redemption to be something everyone could gain access to. We are all disobedient. We are all obstinate. It is only through God's grace that we are redeemed, not through our own work. I empathize with Paul. Those people who refuse to hear the truth, who close their eyes to the truth, are seriously frustrating to me. There is so much going on in our world today that people close their eyes to, where they plug their ears and refuse to listen. But oh, how amazing when we do listen to his word, when you see a stubborn heart become regenerated. It's amazing. When you see his presence in your own life, the work that he is doing to change and grow you to be more like him, how beautiful it is to see his work. Ladies, things are getting darker. They're getting darker. We must look more and more fervently for his light in the darkness. Cling to him. Seek him daily. If you aren't spending your time in the word daily, you are setting yourself up to be led astray by false teaching, and it is out there. The only way to recognize the counterfeit is to know the real thing so well that you can't be deceived. That's how law enforcement does it. They study real money so that when they see counterfeit, they can recognize it instantly. In the same way, we must study our Bibles, dig into the Word, feed our souls with the nourishment He provides so that we will not be led astray by every deceptive philosophy. My question for us all today is this: are we studying the real thing? Are we listening to His Word? Are we following His commands? Are we opening our eyes to what He wants us to see, or are we closing our eyes and plugging our ears so we don't hear something that might make us uncomfortable? We are promised suffering in this life. We are also promised that God will refine us to make us more and more like Him. That only happens through a process of helping us to empty ourselves of our own sinful desires so that we can come more closely in line with Him daily. And that can be very painful. Still, isn't the pain of being refined worth it when compared to the promise of eternal life that we have in Him? Consider this today and then open your Bible for yourself. Let His Word feed you. Know His Word for yourself, not relying on me or anyone else to tell you what the Bible says. Check it for yourself. Know it. The Jews should have known it, and they should have recognized Christ, but they didn't. They tried so hard to make Scripture line up with their own opinions. Don't go to God's Word for justification. Go to His Word for sanctification. Those counterfeits aren't always easy to spot, so we must know them when we see them.
Thank you, Beth. All of our Bible study notes again on our website, naomistable.com. Nancy and I will be back in just a moment to talk more about what we just heard.